Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pick and Roll live stream right here on the Board YouTube channel, which is the Hammers NBA Content Division. And we're back after some crazy action in the NBA, which we will be going through a little bit later on our show for today. But as always, you know how it is when it comes to Pick and Roll. We go live here every weekday morning on this channel. We go through free picks. We go through the recap of the previous show's picks. We go through some of the biggest stories around the NBA. And we got some big ones with those game twos that we saw yesterday before rounding it off with the final recap at the end of the show. So everybody, if you've been tailing the picks, we had a great start to the postseason, albeit yesterday not quite hitting for us on the three bets that we had. But we've been doing really well with the playoffs with Pivs' picks. Make sure you guys do hit a like, hit that like button, and subscribe to the channel for more playoff betting content. So let's get started here. We have two free picks courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook that we will be going to at the start of the show. But later on, if we can get to 50 plus likes, we also have a bonus big SGP for you guys. So an even bigger reason to smash that like button and get things started for us and help drive us up in that YouTube algorithm. And as the reward for that support, of course, we will get you those that big SGP, which will be at BetMGM. All right, let's get to the picks. First of all, we are going to the Pacers and Bucks game tonight, and we have Tyrese Haliburton under 19.5 points. We're going to get that for minus 118 odds. Again, that is at DraftKings Sportsbook. Go and get this one. Live viewers, you get the best price. Second bet that we have is for tomorrow's action, but it is in the Pelicans and Thunder game. We're going to be taking Herb Jones over 9.5 points. Same spot. You can get it at DraftKings for minus 115 odds. We're playing this now because the lines are up. And if we wait until tomorrow for this one on the show, you probably won't be able to get this. So let's go back to that first pick. Let's bring in Pips now. Talk to us about Haliburton's matchup here and what you saw from game one that you're potentially hoping to see as well in game two for this bet.
What I saw is Haliburton unable to even get a shot off. He had 7 field goal attempts. One was offensive putback. That's just so unusual for Haliburton to happen. One was like huge breakdown on the offensive rebound when he gets wide open three. So he self-created 5 field goal attempts in the entire 40 minutes of the playing time. They didn't play drop coverage. They put 2 on the ball whenever they could. He's mostly running pick and rolls with not with the guy that's guarded by Lopez. So it's easy for them to just put 2 on the ball. And he's playing pick and rolls mostly with Siakam. And then they have like Crowder or Portis or, I don't know, Middleton. Just easy hedging in his screen. And he just pass out of it and that's it. 7 field goal attempts, even if he gets more than double, like career stuff this season, Haliburton, when he shoots like up to 15 field goal attempts, he's under this line in 75% of the games. And recently, he is just struggling. If you take a look at the games with since Siakam and Turner playing, his numbers are down. And since the injury, he just can't create the separation in isolation. And it's tough. I was actually surprised that they decided to put 2 on the ball against him, because he didn't look like he can create much for himself either way. But this way, they're just taking him out of the game in his scoring. And even the last game, he had 9 points. He shot 4 for 7, 1 putback, 1 mid-range pull-up shot, and 1 wide open corner 3. So like he didn't even get to the half of the line while playing huge minutes. So, yeah, I'm just like, even if he gets double the field goal attempts, he shouldn't be able to cover this line. So, I'm going with it. Usually, I would just say, usually when teams win, they don't adjust a lot for the second game. And Bucks won, it clearly worked, doubling, putting two on the ball against Halliburton, so I expect them to do the same.
Yeah, it's Doc Rivers. Even if his team lost, he might not adjust anything. So when they win, forget about it. Tyrese is an interesting case because I think he's kind of – I'm not going to – I think for the lack of a better term, I'll say he's a victim of the new rule of, you know, 65 games plus to make – to be in, like, all-NBA considerations, which absolutely he will be in all-NBA considerations. So he played through being a little bit hurt. And also the Pacers in the standings, they really wanted to avoid the play-in tournament, which they did. So he played a lot of games, a lot in a row near the end of the season. And it's still kind of clear that he's not quite up to snuff health-wise. So hopefully we can cash in with that on the under for this one.
I will also say he was like huge, like his numbers were huge because of the pace.
The usage.
And the way teams can play any defense with that kind of pace. And now it's slower pace. And it's way better defense. Whistle is completely off. Like it's getting difficult to get to the free throw line in the NBA. And it's not like he lived there, but players just can be more physical with him. And with him not being completely ready and losing his first step, yeah, that's tough for him for sure.
Absolutely. Let's move now to the second play. This was the Herb Jones play. So just to clarify, this one. We're getting the line now. The line likely won't be available tomorrow morning, so we will have a show. But just going to get this one in since you know we have the line up now. We may as well do it.
Yeah, this one is open for like more than 48 hours already. So it opened like 2 days ago. Like I think it might be even like after the game finished, it opened like 3 hours after the game. The lines for this one. So it's been up for quite some time. So I think the limits should be okay for this one.
So we have Herb Jones over 9.5 points. That was -115 at DraftKings. Now, what do you like about Herb Jones in the matchup here with the Thunder?
Just the matchup. And I watched the game and I liked what I saw from the last game, even though he didn't cover. Let's just say that they don't care about Herb Jones on offense. They left him completely wide open at least like 10 times during the game. And he shot 6 corner threes wide open, like no one even close to him, like wide open threes. He made only one of them and he made one above the break three. So he shot 8 threes in that game and had 2 free throws and had 2 transition layups that he missed. That's insane usage. So he got to the line and he had 10 field goal attempts. And I think that could be 8, could be a floor, considering how they are just leaving him wide open. And if you take a look at graphics for this one, this is in 2024 when Herb Jones gets 7 plus field goal attempts. He covered this in 25 out of 32. Anders came and he shot like 1 from 6 from 3-point line. And in 2024, so in this year, he's shooting 45% from the three. And it's real. Like he's a very, very much improved shooter. I hovered over the game. As we can see, he was 2 from 10 in the last game and he scored 8 points. So he has 1 field goal made short, and he was 2 from 10. And all the threes were wide open, and he missed 2 layups. If you're getting 10 field goal attempts completely wide open, you should smash this line more often than not. It goes well with the matchup as well, as he's scoring. This is like corner threes are spot-up threes, and Thunders are allowing 4th most spot-up. And he is scoring 30% of his points from the corners, and Thunders allow the most corner threes in the entire league. So yeah, he needs to play huge minutes to defend Shea. Just makes sense all overall. They are hedging the screens on CJ McCollum. They are hedging the screen on Brandon Ingram. they sent some doubles on a Brandon Ingram when he's not against Dort. And Valanciunas inside is getting doubled, like, even on rebounds, even on whenever he touched the ball inside. So he just sharing the ball to the wide open Herb Jones in the corner. Like, so many ways this can win. And with right usage, he should be able to cover this.
All right, so you have our two picks to start us off from Pips. Those both of those available at DraftKings. And reminder, if we do get 50-plus likes on today's show, we have a big SGP coming your guys' way, and we need 13 more likes to get to that point. So if you haven't hit that like button, please make sure you do so. Now let's take a moment here to talk about a couple of the big games that we saw yesterday. One of the best days of playoff basketball maybe we've ever seen, especially as far as the first round is concerned. Sensational finishes in both the 76ers game against the Knicks and the Lakers game, of course, against the Denver Nuggets. We've talked a lot about the Lakers. We will do as well here. But let's first of all go to the Philadelphia 76ers. Up by 5 points with 30 seconds remaining in a game two where you're already down 1-0 in the series and they find a way to lose. Wow. What happened to the 76ers in this game to crumble like that after a great comeback in the fourth quarter?
I'll just say that Hartenstein offensive rebound was huge. Huge.
Yep.
And then they did, I mean, in the last 30 seconds, you hit two three-pointers. That's big. And Maxi crumbled with some turnover. And difficult one for the 76ers, especially like you are now down 0-2. If you survive this one, you are 1-1. So like these are the moments that define the series, define the season. All the effort you put for like 6 months is just come down to the one play. That's why we love the NBA. That's why we love basketball. That's why we enjoy this month. And yeah, it was insane. Obviously, now we have 76ers playing with two injured players. Embiid, obviously.
Clearly.
Like, that's not a question. But Maxi was questionable for the game, missed the practice with illness, came in, played unbelievable, almost 35 points, triple-double, like 12 from 22 from the floor, 6-6. So, like, crazy efficient game, like masterpiece from Tyrese Maxey. And then in the biggest moment of the game, missed a layup and turnover. So
yeah.
Unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just very unfortunate on their end.
So what was interesting about that last play where DiVincenzo hits the three. So he misses the three. Obviously, amazing rebound by Hartenstein. Watching it back, I know Joel Embiid's hurt, but these are the fine margins that win or lose you a series. Joel Embiid doesn't box out the big man. Who was he boxing out? He started to box out somebody else who already had a player with him. Didn't box out what should have been his assignment, Hartenstein. But yeah, clearly Hartenstein wanted it more, got the rebound. As soon as he kicked it out to DiVincenzo, I knew it was going in. You give a good shooter two cracks out of three, he ain't missing the second time. And big shot by DiVincenzo and huge defensive play by Hartenstein on the Maxi last layup. Nick Nurse loves running that play where the guard just gets a big runway to get to the rim, but unreal athleticism by Hartenstein. I mean, he's going to get a massive paycheck in the summer.
Yeah. I'll say, like, how the number, the data, that kind of define the explains the last possession is Joel Embiid, 10 rebounds on 28 rebounding chances. I never seen anything like that. Like, that's absurd. Like, he on 28 rebound chances, he usually gets like 18 to 20 rebounds. So that's clear sign of that he isn't there for like 100% in, because that stuff don't have. Like, if you remember the series against Boston Celtics last season, he was great on defense in that series. Like, he was tremendous on defense. And this series, his huge size, and he's doing a lot for just being there with his size and causing all kind of troubles. But the rebounding in this series was, yeah, it especially in this game and especially in that possession, was not there.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's hurt, but he made an attempt to box out, just not the right attempt on Hardenstein. I don't know, that just bugs me as a basketball fan. That's the
I will explain how much he's hurt with him shooting 9 threes.
Yeah.
He can't beat anyone on the dribble, and he's just setting up, even the last game, second half of the last game, he just shot over Mitchell Robinson, and every shot was short, and he was just setting for jumpers. If he's shooting so many jumpers, like, that's showing, like, I can't get to my spot. I need to just fire up from distance.
You know, I'll give him his credit. He's clearly hurt, and he's grinding to play through it, and... Yeah, I have to commend him for that. He's working hard to play through it, even though he's hurt.
Another game Another game where he's positive plus minus and they lost. I mean, it's plus three, they lost by three. So they lost when he sit like 9 minutes by six. Nothing crazy like it was in the first game, but still they are there. When he's on the court, they are winning. So
they're better.
That's big.
Yeah, so they come home. Listen, you know, it's not a disaster to lose the two away games. You just got to do your job at home and win both of your home games, and you're right back in the series. Easier said than done. I realize that we missed out on the recap, but this will segue us into a talk about the Lakers and Nuggets game yesterday. But let's recap the previous show's bets. It was 1-2 day, unfortunately. As much as the big SGP goes 1 out of 4 on the five legs, it actually had very good opportunity to win. Plenty of rebound chances for Banchero, just doesn't get the six we need. Franz Wagner had 13 potential assists. He ends on 2. We needed 3 and just didn't come through. The other losing play was on Jamal Murray over 5.5 assists. He had 5 and he had 12 potential assists. Nuggets were not hitting his shots, the shots off his passes. So in the fourth quarter, Murray decided, I'll do it myself, and didn't pass, just took every shot. And when there was an opportunity to get us into overtime to get a win on the game, Jamal Murray also decided that, no, we're not going to OT. I'm going to hit the game-winning buzzer beater. So, unfortunately, a loss there. But an easy win on D'Angelo Russell. I think it was a first half cover on threes alone. Did he have 6 threes in the first half? I think he did. Ends with 23. Yeah. And we get
I'll just say, there. For Jamal Murray, he had... I think it was second possession of the second quarter that he hit 4th. Like, he had, like, first 8 minutes on the court, he had 4 assists. Then hit the 5th one, 5 minutes into the second half. Okay, like, completely, like, stopped even looking at it. And I didn't watch the runaway and wake up, see, ends with the 5. So he played last 15 minutes of the game without getting a single assist while getting 5 in the first. Yeah, it's in madness. Sometimes the way we lose, but yeah, that's it. Like, playoff basketball. Like, numbers on potential assist in playoffs compared to the regular season conversion rates are just way different. Like, these games are all... I mean, we can look at the scores like last night, 86-96, yeah. So total 182, barely over 100 for 76ers in Knicks, Lakers and Denver Nuggets, we hit 200, so every game, every day, we can see the numbers, even the game Pacers against the Bucks, where you expect like huge numbers, nothing, like, it was barely 200 points every night, the same, like, every night we see teams going under, like, barely over 200 points or under, like, these are the numbers we saw from like 2000 basketball, like, and we talked about it yesterday, but we saw people complain about the regular season and 300 points a game. Now we see people complain about 180 points. Like, not complaining, but saying like it's trash basketball.
Yeah,
it's trash basketball. It's you all want this throughout the entire NBA season. You ask for a Titan whistle and more physical contact, and you are getting it in the playoffs. So that's it. Like, when you allow defense, suddenly when you watch Cleveland Cavaliers in the Run the Magic series, we are just thinking like, how do these guys can score? Like the defense is so like, especially for the Orlando Magic. Like Cavs play such a great defense. You are starting to see the way how can my Magic even score in those games. And yeah, that's.
I feel like that Cavaliers Magic series is just passing everyone by. I haven't seen. I've been watching the other games. I'm keeping up with the Maple Leafs and the playoffs in hockey. I haven't seen a single highlight from that series yet. Like that series is just happening. I don't know if anybody's really paying attention too much unless you're Orlando or a Cleveland fan. I apologize to Orlando and Cleveland fans. I genuinely have just not seen anything coming out from that series. But one series where we've seen a lot is in the Lakers against the Denver Nuggets. Now, for this series, we were talking about in the previous show the Lakers and what they needed to do to adjust in game two, and it came down to shooting, and it very much looked like we had that. Lakers hit a big three from Austin Reaves to go up 68-48. I thought, you know what, midway through the third, I think I should call it and just go to bed and get the sleep in before I wake up early the next morning. But I made a note at the time in my head of the exact moment I did that, just in case I wake up, check the score, and see that the Denver Nuggets won. And guess what happens? I wake up, Denver Nuggets in the second half overturn a 20-point deficit. Jamal Murray goes crazy in the fourth quarter and does hit the buzzer beater to win the game. Shout out Canada Basketball. But Pips, the Lakers, 10 losses in a row to the Denver Nuggets in regular season combined with the playoffs. My goodness. Like, what else do they need to do to beat this team?
Yeah, this is so painful. Even as a, like, fan, like, not fan of Lakers or Denver, like, regular, casual fan, you would like Lakers to get one so we have a big series coming. And if the Lakers get this one, the series is still alive and they can win. Now it's just tough to beat. Like Denver Nuggets, you lost 10 straight, and now you need to win like 4 out of the next 5. That's just not happening. I won't say it. Like Lakers are a great team. Like they're playing great. Before the series started, I said like, unfortunately that we have first round, what I had for a maybe conference finals. Like Lakers are currently probably the second, but Wolves are great. Lakers are great. I don't know, but close to probably being second best team in the West. And that's third best NBA team in the league. So that's huge. And they will probably be the first round exit. That's it. So talking about game, Lakers made good adjustment. They had the game ongoing. And like as the game progressed, they were like 80% of the plan in the first quarter, 40%, 60% of like they just downward with the plan. And I would say people talk about Jamal Murray and the last shot is a beauty, but the key thing of this game was Michael Porter Jr. making that crazy three with like when auto broken play, when Jokic tried to get foul, Gordon gets somehow crazy to the ball and throws it back. Michael Porter Jr. just snaps and makes a three. Like that's insane moment for this game. I'll also say people not even I didn't see anyone mention LeBron James shooting a three, 16 seconds left, they had 13 on the shot clock and he takes a three. That's a rookie mistake. Like I don't know what the fuck was he thinking at that moment. I think it's difficult to say for LeBron, but I think the lights are too bright for him. Like he wanted to be the hero and make that three and that's it. Like you are tied. 16 seconds left, 13 on shot clock. You just want to take the shot with a buzzer. Like you don't want to let them get any more time to for a possession. And they have 15 seconds for the last possession. Like that's insane. And they switched AD on Jamal Murray and let him alone with game on the line. That's also absurd, like, especially when there is, like, 2 seconds left. Send the double. He don't even have the time to make the pass. Like, that's I don't know how to explain. I think last two possessions or three possessions by Lakers was terrible execution. And it's difficult to say, but LeBron was probably the most responsible one on either side of the court. I love LeBron. Like, he's insane. Like, I just can't, like, the highest IQ player probably ever, or even close. Like, Jokic is there now. He's insane. But those two are crucial mistakes that lost them the game.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's always typically the guy that makes those right decisions. Just in the moment, felt that it was his opportunity to, I guess, essentially win the game. And yeah, he'll probably look back on that one with regret, especially with the way it ended, with Jamal Murray obviously winning the game.
Yeah. It wasn't a terrible shot. Like, he was wide open for a three. Yeah.
But he probably debated it a lot, taking it. Because he probably knew, like, it wasn't right. But also, he's thinking, are we going to get a better shot than this? Probably not. So, I think it was, he was kind of torn in the moment and just kind of felt in rhythm. Open, take the open shot. It's the best shot you're going to get. But, you know, they paid a price. And like we said earlier, playoffs do come down to those small, fine margins, and all of a sudden, a 1-1 series is now a 2-0 series. But, you know, even just letting the Nuggets even back into the game at that point is a mistake by the Lakers. So they have got a lot of work to do. Of these two, I think the answer is obvious, but who's more likely to come back from 2-0 down, the Sixers or the Lakers?
I mean, this is one, like, I think the Lakers are a better team, but other team has Brunson as their best player, and the one other team has Nikola Jokic.
Gotta go Sixers is the better team.
Gotta go with, I'm going with the 76ers just because it's Jokic on the other side. But we need to, like, have a huge, like, Denver Nuggets on the road are a completely different team than Denver Nuggets at home. Like, that's huge. And also, Lakers are way better at home. So,
also true.
That's huge. Didn't matter last season, but I honestly think this Lakers team is much better than the last season. Much better.
Game three obviously will be pretty much must win. I mean, it's not technically a must win, but it's a must win for the Lakers.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we have hit the 50 plus likes on today's show once again, back to back days. Thank you so much, everybody, for supporting the show, supporting what we do here on the Board YouTube channel and on the Pick and Roll live stream. Let's get you guys the bonus big SGP. So we have gone to this game already with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. We're going back to it here to take plus 333 odds at BetMGM. We're going to be going five legs. Damian Lillard, under 31.5 points. Bobby Portis, 15 plus points. Chris Middleton, over 17.5 points. Pascal Siakam, 20 plus points. And Miles Turner, 12 plus points. Five legs, five players. Lillard, Portis, Middleton, Siakam, and Turner. All right, Pips, what do you see matchup-wise from this one that's making you fade Dame after a very good first half last game and the over for everybody else?
Yeah, Dame had 35 points in the first half. I already said the worst defense I ever seen in the playoffs played by the Pacers in the first half. That was insane. Second half finally started playing good defense on him. Like, the defense I actually expected them to play, like, in the second quarter, not in the first, but in the second quarter when he scored. In second half, Damian Lillard scored less. 0 points. 19 minutes, 0 points for Damian Lillard in the second half. Obviously, I don't expect them to be close to zero, but I think 31.5 should be too high for him in that kind of coverage. Especially if you look at Damian Lillard this season, he struggled for most of the season, so I don't think, like, just for a moment that he'll be, like, yeah. With that kind of defense, things open up for Chris Middleton, things open up for Bobby Portis. Last game, both covered this line. Even though Portis got fouled out of the game, lost some minutes there, didn't shoot well, and all kinds of stuff, still covered. Middleton first half very poor, nothing crazy. And then second half, they started doubling Lillard, and he's just thrived on it. Single coverage against Middleton, he was getting wherever he wanted. That's the Bucks side of it. So it's correlated. Good defense on Lillard, Chris Middleton, and Portis. Like, there's no one else. It's Brook Lopez, Bob Beverly, Beasley. Like, someone needs to score for this team to go to 100. On the other side, we have tight coverage on Tyrese Haliburton, as we had a straight bet. We had Siakam scoring 36 in the first game, 25 field goal attempts. So, yeah, Siakam will get his. They were more than okay with Siakam shooting mid-ranges and going in insulation and stuff. So I expect kind of the same. Not much to change for Doc Rivers. This one, and Siakam can get 20. And also, they played Siakam 40 minutes. Finally. Like, he needs to be on the court 40-plus minutes for Pacers to even have a chance to win this one. Second part, of the last part of this bet is Miles Turner. Yeah, with tight coverage on Haliburton and role players like Nembhard, Nesmith, Toppin, Jalen Smith playing. These guys don't have usage. We had Miles Turner with 17 field goal attempts. He scored only 5 out of 17 and still ended up with 17 points. The usage for him must be huge. He's open wide open on threes, on mid-range, so he should get there. So, yeah, this is how I see it. Like, if the teams remain the same coverage, this has a huge chance of winning. So we are going with this.
And as always, when it comes to the big SGPs, we go half a unit. I didn't exactly specify in the graphic, but we'll be tracking this at half unit. Just the player props, as normal, will be the full unit, again, as normal for the show. You're fully welcome to bet whichever value you want for either of the bets. That's just the one that we recommend. And for the simplicity of the tracking purposes, that is what we have. So that will do it for today's show. 3 picks on the way, looking to follow up what's been a very good playoff so far right here on Pick and Roll on the Board YouTube channel. If you didn't hit the like button yet, make sure you do so. And make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We'll have shows coming at you all throughout the playoffs, especially the daily content coming at you in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs in shows like this. Don't miss out on anything by hitting that notification bell as well. But let's recap the 3 plays that were given out today, courtesy of Pips. First of all, we have a player prop at DraftKings, Tyrese Haliburton, under 19.5 points. We got that minus 118 at DraftKings, as I said. Let's go to the second play in the Pelicans and Thunder game. This one's tomorrow, but this line may not be available tomorrow. Herb Jones, over 9.5 points, which we got minus 115 at DraftKings. Again, that is for the second play. On our third play, it is the bonus big SGP. Once again, thank you for the support, everybody, on today's show. The play is going to be at plus 333 odds at BetMGM. Damian Lillard, under 31.5 points. Bobby Portis, 15-plus points. Chris Middleton, over 17.5 points. Pascal Siakam, 20-plus points. Miles Turner, 12-plus points. Could not find this one at ESPN Bet at the time we gave it out. If you're watching later on in the day, I would check them out to see if they have a better price. But for all the bets later in the day, use an odds comparison tool like the BetStamp app to ensure that you are always getting the best odds. Check out the sign-up link that we have with a link in the description to see what sportsbooks are available in your region, and that will do it from us. We hope to see you tomorrow, hopefully celebrating a big day. Thanks so much for watching Pick and Roll.